Okay, let's open our Bibles to the book of Philippians. One around here somewhere found it. Arm's length. Philippians chapter 3. And look at that, it's lesson number 40 in this series of studies on this wonderful book, which speaks about the realities, the true realities of the Christian life, as God would have it to be lived, as God makes it possible for us to live a life that is pleasing in his sight. In our last time together, we were discussing the incredible change that is going to take place when the born-again believer meets Jesus Christ at his return for his church. Now, that's just a complicated way of saying things, but you got to be very, very careful. See, people talk about the return of the Lord, the return of the Lord. And, well, that could mean just about anything, depending on the spiritual condition of the speaker and the spiritual condition of the hearer. When we say the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, we could mean his literal return to set foot on this earth to establish his kingdom as promised throughout the Old Testament, and which is clearly taught in the book of Revelation and other places in the New Testament. We could be referring to that, or we could be referring to the time when Jesus Christ returns in the clouds, does not come all the way to set his foot upon this earth, but returns in the clouds to catch away from this world every man, woman, boy, and girl who has put their faith and trust in him for the forgiveness of their sins and the saving of their soul. Just want you to understand that term, that phrase could be referring to either of those if you don't specify. Okay. Now, there are some liberal groups who don't believe the Bible, which, and these groups, they say the coming of the Lord is when Jesus moves into your heart, or the coming of the Lord is this general feeling of goodness, godliness that sweeps across the land. They might write some silly song like, "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord," when of course that's not true because they haven't seen any such thing. But we are referring in Philippians chapter 3 to the time when Jesus Christ returns in the clouds to take born-again believers from this earth to be with him in heaven. And at that time, those who had previously died, whose souls had gone to be with him in heaven, because as we saw at that time, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. At that time, he will raise the bodies of all the saints who had previously died and change them. And at the same time, he's changing the bodies of those who are alive and remain. And then together, we will all meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, I can't read all those verses again tonight that we read last time and looked at in detail, so we'll just have to move forward. And I can't argue with or debate with you about what we read last time that you didn't hear read. I'm telling you the truth. That is what the Bible says. Our passage was Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 20. Which says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior." And I pointed out last time, there's only one that this verse clearly shows us. There's only one, and that's who we're looking for. We're not looking for heaven to come down. We're looking for the Savior to come down. We're looking for the Savior. Who is it? Read more. The Lord Jesus Christ. So there's no question about who is the one and only Savior. It's Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, verse 21, "Who shall change our vile body, that it that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. You know what we call in our modern world, do you know what we call that which people wear? That which people clothe themselves, cover themselves? We call it fashion, don't we? Now, the Bible says that one day we are going to change fashions. You know what that means? That means just as clothes cover your body, so your body covers you. I wish I could get this across to people. You are not your body. The body is the clothing you wear while you live on this earth. One day you are going to move. You are no longer going to live on this earth. If you're saved, you're going to live in heaven. If you are not saved, you are going to live in hellfire. But one day you are going to move. You're going to relocate. Now, when you do, this body, specially designed to house you while you live on earth, well, it will not be sufficient to house you when you live either in heaven or in hell. So those of us who are going to heaven, what's our promise? That we are going to get a new body like the body in which the Lord Jesus Christ himself is living in heaven right now. And we're going to get a body that suits us, that enables us, equips us to live in heaven, just as we're living now on earth. And so that's called a change of fashion. Now, who is going to bring that about? Jesus Christ, the Lord. By his power and through his grace, he is going to change our bodies. Now, last time we considered what the Word of God says about these bodies. He said these bodies are vile bodies. And that is so offensive to self-loving modern man that the Bible produced, those Bibles produced by self-loving modern men for self-loving modern men have altered Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, so that, for example, in the New International Version, your body is not called vile, but it is vile, okay? It smells. If you don't bathe it and perfume it on a regular basis, man, it rots. It rots. The moment God takes the person out of the body, you find that when the body is no longer serving the purpose for which it was made, man, it becomes a horrible thing. In fact, so horrible that people will either burn them up or bury them. They don't keep them around unless there's something wrong with them. but you say, why not? Because they're vile. They're vile. And I'm not trying to be rude or insulting. I'm trying to get you to stop thinking so materially and so carnally and get you to think biblically. Because people's entire lives are devoted to their bodies. You know it's true. And what a cruel deception that is, because nobody in the world has enough money to keep this body running without decay, without corruption, or without revealing its vile nature. Now, you might, sure, with a few million bucks, you might postpone it a little bit, but you will not alter the inevitable destination of the body that you're living in right now. So I ask you, do you have some hope beyond the grave, some certain promise of life extending beyond this life? You do if you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is going to change our vile bodies and make them like unto his glorious body. Now, I don't have all the details on that, and neither do you. Nobody does. But I know this, without the details, vile, V-I-L-E, sounds worse than glorious. And glorious sounds better than vile. That much I know. If there was nothing else in the Bible about the future state of the believer, that would be sufficient to prove to me that the future state is better than, superior to, the current state. And you need to get that. All right, let's consider some other verses. For example, the blessed hope of the Christian. It's called the blessed hope in Titus 2:13. That blessed hope is the appearing of our life. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Okay, you understand that? Jesus didn't give me life, man. He is my life. I have no life without Jesus Christ. Did you ever hear people say, get a life, man? Well, that's more biblically accurate than they know, because a person without Jesus Christ, the Bible says they are dead in trespasses and sins, and they need to be revived. When sin came, they died, and so they need to be reborn. And so this notion of get a life, hey, it's true. It's true. Jesus Christ is the life if you are saved. He is our life. Now, this is why, again, these humanistic approaches to Christianity, man, they're so hurtful. You probably also heard people say over and over again without giving it any thought, maybe you've said it, let Christ come into your life. Well, that's kind of a nice thing that, oh, wonderful, you would allow poor little Jesus to come into your fantastic life. You know, the reason that I want you to understand how that is such utter nonsense is because, according to the Word of God, if you don't have Jesus Christ already, you don't have any life for him to come into. He is the life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the what? Life. There's no life outside of Jesus Christ. You have no life to, so kindly, thank you very much, let Jesus come into. And so, what are we looking for? Our blessed hope is that our very life, Jesus Christ, is going to come and so change our bodies that we will be able to leave the bondage of this world and enter into the liberty and freedom of heaven and actually live there and be able to survive there. Because just as surely as God at present has given us a body equipped for life on this earth, he's going to give us a body equipped for life there in heaven. I don't know about you, that's something that I look forward to. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, that Jesus Christ will in fact appear. It's not a myth. It is not a fairy tale. It is a reality. It is a sure and certain hope, looked forward to and anticipated by all those who are saved. In a sense, his appearing, his coming, will be a judgment of the quick and the dead. 2 Timothy 4:1 is where you find that. Now, how can that be? Because everybody's not going to heaven. Okay? Only in the obituary page of the local newspaper do you find everybody going to heaven. That's the only place. But no, in reality, people who have humbled themselves and trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're the ones that go to heaven. And those who trusted anything else or everything else, no matter how many good deeds they did, they die in their sins and go to hell, because Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. So in the sense that some people go to be with the Lord when he comes, and some people are left behind when he comes, in that sense, his coming is a judgment. It divides some people from others. Also, those that are in Christ are the only ones that shall be taken. You remember the passage read last time, 1 Thessalonians? The dead in Christ shall rise. Then we, believers, who are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them. All right, so who is together? All the people who believe, who meet the Lord in the air. Okay, so it's a separating, it's a dividing. But think about this now. The division has already taken place before the Lord comes. Some believed on him, some rejected him. That's the dividing line. It's not determined at the coming of the Lord. It's determined right now as you decide whether or not to trust Jesus or to keep on clinging to your religion. And if you trust Jesus, you're on the saved side, and you get to go. And if you haven't trusted Jesus, you're on the lost side and you don't get to go. Left behind. It's that simple. Couldn't be any clearer in the Word of God. Now, the believers will be freed from their vile bodies. We talked about that. They're called the body of death. Okay, that's what we're living in, a body of death. That's Romans 7:24. And the Lord is going to change it and make it incorruptible, like his, just like his. And we talked about that last time. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, this is known as the redemption of the body. The redemption of the body. All right, so I hope you're listening carefully. When I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have, you were saved. You were redeemed. Okay? What did we say factually from the Bible just a few minutes ago? You are not your body. You live inside your body. So, and I hope you understand that. I'm sure you do. So what does that mean? Obviously, it means your body did not get saved. Okay, so this is the great conflict in the life of a saved man or a saved woman. I am saved, but I am living in a body that is not saved. I am free from the power of sin, but my body has not been freed from the power of sin. That's why there's such an ongoing conflict and spiritual warfare within each individual who is saved. And one day the Jesus Christ who redeemed me is going to come and call us away. And in the act of transporting us from earth to heaven, he is going to redeem our bodies. Now, how did he redeem my soul? He changed me from sinner to saint. He changed me from child of the devil to child of God. Now, what is he going to do in that hour of our catching away to be with him? He's going to change our bodies from vile to glorious, from corruptible to incorruptible. Man, what a marvelous day that's going to be. Now, I've got to digress here for a minute. I've got to take a quick little side trip. This is why many of you continue to be deceived and manipulated by these so-called healers, because your body has not been saved. You have absolutely no promise, no guarantee of physical health and freedom from corruption and decay in your physical body. It hasn't been saved. It is vile. It is falling apart. It's wearing out. Stop letting people pervert the scriptures to manipulate your emotions to steal money from you. You're welcome. All right, so the Bible says we're waiting for the redemption of our body. This hope, the Bible says, is a hope that should keep us pure. I mean, if you knew, think about it, if you knew that a special guest might arrive at your home this evening, you wouldn't want that home Well, I mean, wouldn't you look around and check it out and make sure that your home was as prepared as it could possibly be for the arrival of that special guest, knowing that, and even more so, knowing that Jesus Christ, the Lord, could come and may come at any moment. In fact, that on your mind all the time, that'll lead you and motivate you to keep this body, this house in which you live, keep it as prepared for his coming as it could possibly be at all times. See, the hope of the sure, soon, instantaneous, unannounced coming of the Lord keeps a man, keeps a woman living pure, or it ought to. It's a wonderful thing. It's a tremendous motivator for right living and spiritual living. Let me give this idea of a house now, and of moving and so forth, just as quickly as I can here. Come to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's start reading there at verse number 16. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And verse 16. Here the Bible says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish." See that? That there's your mortal body, and it is a fact that it is dying every single minute of every single day. Yet the inward man, okay, now that's the real you. That's the saved person on the inside of the earth suit, the inside of the body. The Bible says, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Every single day, that eternal life, it is just as new as it was the moment God gave it to you in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. That's how short your life on this earth is. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, okay, that's your physical body, but at the things which are not seen, the coming of the Lord, for example. For the things which are seen are temporal, your physical body, but the things which are not seen, heaven, Jesus, new body, are what? Eternal. Eternal. You see that? Eternal. What do you have that lasts? Your salvation. What do you have that is permanent? Your soul. And so that's what you ought to be focused upon. That's what you ought to be gazing at. And that's the mark that you should be pressing toward. That heavenly calling. Okay. Now, continuing in 2 Corinthians here, chapter 5, verse 1 says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Okay, do you see that? What is your body called? A house. You know what a house is? It's a place where somebody lives. What is your body called in this passage? It's called clothing. That's what you wear to cover something. Okay. Look, your body, again, your body is not you. It's what you live in. And one day you will have to move out. Where are you going to go? You either trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, and he comes and takes you to heaven, gives you a new body, glorious body, a deathless body, a land where all is joy and love and peace and light forever and forever and forever. Or you try anything else, religion, good deeds, atheism, cult membership, try anything else, and you die and go to hell and are tormented forever and ever and ever. That's it. Those are the choices. There is no third option, heaven or hell. Which for you? And it's all based upon your relationship to Jesus Christ. Okay, now you don't become a Christian through works. You don't become a Christian through church membership. You don't become a Christian by abandoning non-Christian things. The Bible says that Jesus Christ died to pay for your sins on the cross at Calvary, and that God was so satisfied with the payment that Jesus made for the sins of the whole world that he has agreed to pardon all the sins of any man, woman, boy, or girl who will forsake their own self-righteousness and trust completely in what Jesus Christ did for them. So I'm asking you tonight, I'm not asking if you go to church. I'm not asking if you're a good person. I'm not asking if you're trying to do the best you can. I want to know, are you willing to abandon all hope of saving yourself and put all of your trust and all of your confidence in the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died, was buried, and rose again? If you will trust him, God will save you on the merits of Jesus Christ. If you do not trust him, you will lose your soul in hell, because the only thing acceptable to God is the righteousness of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I hope and pray that you have trusted him. If not, that you will trust him before he comes again, and he may come tonight. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this encouragement and for showing us, Lord, how we are not our body, and yet we ought to do everything we can to keep this body holy, living holy. I said, so that we're always prepared for when you come to take us to be with you, to change this vile body into a body like your glorious body. Lord, we sure hope it could be tonight. We can't wait, Lord. We just want to see you, want to be with you, and what a glorious day that'll be. Marvelous, wonderful time forever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.